Lesson 30, Standing Before Kings. In place of using shortcuts to have our needs met, consider many of the scriptures in Proverbs that magnify diligence and warn against laziness and get-rich-quick schemes. I'm going to read several of these. Proverbs 10, verses 4 and 5. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Proverbs 10:16. The wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent will rule, while the slothful will be put to forced labor. Proverbs 18:9. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard does not plow in the autumn. He will seek at the harvest and have nothing. Proverbs 20, verse 13. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will have plenty of bread. Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. Faith and Works. One of our family's favorite books and movies is Where the Red Fern Grows by Wilson Rawls. The plot centers around a young boy's desire to have hunting dogs. In a moment of exasperation, the boy pours out his heart to his grandfather and tells him of his countless prayers to get coon dogs. The boy wonders why God is not answering his prayers. The wise old man tells his grandson that perhaps God wants him to have more than dogs. He wants him to have character. Of course, the boy tells him that he doesn't want character, he wants dogs. But the grandfather then suggests maybe he ought to meet God halfway by diligently working as well as praying. Diligence doesn't replace faith in God, but works in harmony with God. Genuine faith goes hand in hand with hard work. That young man learned the lesson. I will not spoil the story by telling you any more. I encourage you to read the book for yourself. I learned this same lesson, just as this boy did from the Ozarks. When I was a zealous new believer, I read the biographies of several outstanding Christian men, such as Jim Elliot, Hudson Taylor, C.T. Studd, and George Mueller. After reading these books, I came to the conclusion that I was not spiritual if I worked for money. The better path seemed to be living by faith instead of working. I believed I should pray and let God supply my needs. I saw work as unspiritual and the result of not having enough faith. Sadly, I didn't understand this balance of praying and working, and for many years I did not have much money. Even though I had several opportunities to work, Frederick Douglass said, I prayed for 20 years but received no answer until I prayed with my legs. Whenever I think of meeting God halfway and this balance between faith and common sense, I recall the story of the religious man who was caught in rising floodwaters. Here's how it goes. This man climbed onto the roof of his house and trusted God to rescue him. A neighbor came by in a canoe and said, "The waters will soon be above your house. Hop in, we'll paddle to safety." "No thanks," replied the religious man. "I've prayed to God, and I'm sure He will save me." A short time later, the police came by in a boat. "The waters will soon be above your house. Hop in, and we'll take you to safety." No thanks, replied the religious man. I've prayed to God, and I'm sure he will save me. A little time later, a rescue services helicopter hovered over his house, letting down a rope ladder, and said, "The waters will soon be above your house. Climb the ladder, and we'll fly you to safety." No thanks, replied the religious man. I've prayed to God, and I'm sure he will save me. All this time, the floodwaters continued to rise until soon they reached above the roof, and the religious man drowned. When he arrived at heaven's gates, he demanded an audience with God. Ushered into God's throne room, he said, "Lord, why am I here in heaven? I prayed for you to save me. I trusted you to save me from that flood." "Yes, you did, my child," replied the Lord. "I sent you a canoe, a boat, and a helicopter, but you wouldn't get in." Sometimes God gives us money directly, and other times he gives us work to do to earn the money. Both are legitimate answers to prayer. Faith and works are a winning combination, as the book of James states so eloquently in the second chapter, verses 21 to 22. Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. Character. Work is what you do. Character is who you are. As an employer, I place a high value on diligence and Christian character when I am looking for employees to work at my place of business. When I am interviewing a contractor for everything from small jobs around my home to major construction projects, the primary quality I am looking at is the character of the person, and not just the cost of the project. When I mean character, I mean someone who is honest, fair, reliable, and diligent. I have dealt with many people in this vein, having served as the general contractor on two major renovations at our office building and putting an addition onto our home. I have hired several people to represent our company throughout the United States and overseas. Over the years, certain traits have emerged in those who have been successful, and certain characteristics come to the fore in those who have had difficulty. It has very little to do with education or business expertise, but everything to do with their character and their integrity. Business practices are extensions of the person. Diligent people stand out. Honesty is a hallmark of a successful person. Diligence. I had to learn diligence. I was not as diligent as I should have been when I was beginning to operate my own business. But God has effective ways to teach us. One of them is hunger. Proverbs 16:26 expresses this beautifully. A worker's appetite works for him. His mouth urges him on. In another translation, this verse reads, "It is good for workers to have an appetite. An empty stomach drives them on." A wise friend once shared with me about her experience of helping people who were beginning their own business. She replied that those who were hungry worked hard to make ends meet. In the process, they developed a strong, positive work ethic, which carried through in later years, even when they were doing well. Diligence had become a habit. On the other hand, those business owners who were well-financed when they were starting up didn't have to work as hard, and often they didn't succeed. Perhaps it was a lack of motivation, and for whatever reason, they didn't develop a positive work ethic. When all else fails, look at the ants. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. "Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, A little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Proverbs 30, verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer. Let's close with this prayer. Rabbi, teach us to be honest. Help us develop a diligent work ethic. Show us how to have a balance between hard work and strong faith. In the name of Jesus and for his sake, amen.